are proceeding on that audit. I have a meeting with them next week on status, so perhaps I'll have more information then. But the next item is an item that we have finally completed. It was from a previous internal audit on fiscal, last year's internal audit on fiscal activities, and we had some updates on some procedures. Those have been completed and implemented. The next item was the only other one I wanted to mention. This is the 2020 internal audit on records management, and it had some recommendations related to how we dealt with imaging and verification of imaged records. And we had delayed a lot of that due to COVID-19. We have updated those procedures and have implemented this, and it's in progress. I would like to consider this complete. I mean, we do have some current document backlog we're working through, but we're using the new revised procedures. We'll work through the current document backlog by about April the 1st. But I didn't want to see if there's any objection from the audit committee. Typically, if it's a finding to implement procedures, we would normally just call it complete once we've updated the procedures and implemented it. But because because Garza Gonzalez left it open on the follow-up, because we hadn't been implementing it yet, we'd updated the procedures, but we hadn't implemented it. So I just wanted to double check with the committee if the committee's okay with us calling this complete, since we are now in progress with the new procedures.
And why did they?
Well, they follow up on all prior findings, and while we had updated procedures, we hadn't implemented it. We hadn't done any, you know, we haven't put them into practice yet, but now they're in practice. So okay. We would normally call this complete.
They're in the policy. They're written, but they're not.
Yeah, they were written, but they weren't in practice. Now they're in practice. We've begun using them. We can wait, and, you know, actually by the time you get through the next April meeting, we can report in about how we've done on the backlog, or we can just go ahead and call it complete. It's kind of, just wanted to kind of take your temperature on this.
It's completed.
Completed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's call it complete.
All right, very good. We certainly have that underway. And then that's the conclusion on my audit activity report.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Pettijohn and Commissioner Retta. First of all, before you get started, welcome to the Audit Committee.
Thank you. First one,
welcome. We look forward to working with you moving forward. There'll be a lot of exciting times and challenges ahead, but I just wanted to formally welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
Could you give us your report for the savings and mortgage lending?
Sure. It's a very brief report. And again, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And the first item that we have here of the two is the penetration test and the web application. The scan was completed in January, and we received the initial report on January 31st. And the next meeting will be able to, it's under review now, the next meeting will be able to report on it fully, on the results from that. Unless there's a question about that, the other, and again, this is page 7, sorry, I want to make sure I cited the page. And then the legal enforcement, that's one that is planned, as if you do not have anything to report on that.
Any questions at all?
No questions.
Thank you, Commissioner Retta. Now for the Department of Banking, Commissioner Cooper.
Thank you. So, Department of Banking starts on page 8. AT&T DIR did the Texas Cybersecurity Framework Assessment that provided the report. We are going to give an update on our status to the Audit Committee and Executive Commission today. In executive session today. Comptroller post-payment audit, which started in January of 21, is still pending, which seems like a long time, but I heard that's kind of normal. Nothing unusual other than it's late. Then Garza Gonzalez will start their bank examination audit at the end of this month. And that's all we have.
And just on that post-payment audit, Commissioner, that's in their hands, right?
Yes.
Delay on their side.
Right. I think that's kind of what we.
That's been our previous experience. It takes.
Experience.
So we're 13 months into it.
Yes. Yes. They just. Okay. They bundle up groups of agencies when they prepare. They only release these reports quarterly, and they bundle up groups of agencies when they do it, and it just takes a long time for them to get from field work to final production.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're now going to move on to item C, And this is a report from the investment officers. Commissioner Pettijohn, would you please give us a report for the Consumer Credit Commission?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to call on Moran Diamond, who's going to provide our report for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner.
Good morning. Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, Director of Licensing and Finance. The investment officer report is on page 9 and 10 of your packet. We will talk about the TP report, which is on page 10 specifically. One significant item of note is more than 69,000 in grant disbursements that occurred in Q1. There was an appreciation in some assets with an overall decrease in the investment of about $38,000, primarily due to the grant disbursements in Q1, with the total endowment fund of $9.67 million on November the 30th. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I just have a quick comment that, you know, I've been a member for a couple of years now, and looking at the change of value, I see that in change of value there on the investments in the STIF, and I assume that's some sort of short-term fund.
Yes.
And, you know, it goes up 4.5%, which I think it's great. I assume that's equity-related of some sort, and I just kind of applaud y'all for investing in American business and the future American business, because it sure beats the 0.1%, 0.2% and some of the other. But to see that move like that now, we're probably going to see it come back down, you know, in the next report. But I'm glad that at least some of that money's invested in American business.
Yeah. Well, all credit goes to the Texas Treasury Safekeeping Trust. They're the investment managers. You'll hear from them in the Finance Commission meeting, and hopefully I think that's going to be a really good presentation. It usually is, and gives you a good sense of sort of where they have invested. The states, really, generally, not just our financial education endowment. We are very fortunate to be a small part of a very big endowment portfolio, and they'll give you a good sense of sort of how they're managing that for the state of Texas, but specifically for Texas Financial Education Endowment. But thank you for your comments.
I think we're looking forward to that. Right. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. And for the Savings and Mortgage Lending, Commissioner Retta, could you?
Yes, I'd like to call on Antonia Antoff, the Director of Operations, to provide the report.
Good morning, members. Antonia Antoff for Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our report is located on page 11, and there's really not anything significant to report. We have not made any disbursements from the fund. The additions to the fund are from licensing fees that pay into the recovery fund, and right now the fund is at over 4.7. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, members? Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
And now for the Department of Banking, Commissioner Cooper.
Our starts on page 12. First, we have the trust-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund, obviously the beginning balance and ending balance. Activity on the deduction side, I would call that normal activity. And then on the addition side, the biggest mentioned down on item 2D would be 5,700 restitution received from the Hernandez funeral home. And then the information shows where our funds are held. On page 13, it would be the investment report, and we have no seized funds. We have no seized funds at this time. And then on page 14 would be the insurance-funded prepaid guarantee fund. And the only activity there is interest received. That concludes our report.
Any questions?
No questions.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Appreciate that. After those three reports, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2022 first quarter investment officer reports?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Serna. Any second?
Second.
Commissioner McCauley, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item D. Commissioner Pettijohn,
thank you,
please give us your report on the financial statements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to call Moran Diamond again to provide a presentation on our first quarter financial statements, beginning on page 15.
I just want to highlight a few items with regard to variances on the quarterly statement. Overall revenues, starting there, are 15.5% ahead of the budget. Most of the OCCC's revenue is collected early in the fiscal year, so much of the variance is due to seasonal timing differences. Moving to expenditures, overall expenditures are at 94% of the quarterly budget. I just wanted to mention travel, which remains under budget, although we have increased in volume from the prior year. And then one other thing to note on expenditures, miscellaneous operating costs. This category is 103% over budget due to the timing of insurance premium payments, the replenishment of postage accounts, and the costs for receiving electronic payments, which are heavily weighted in the first and second quarters of the fiscal year in alignment with license renewal periods. Now on to the liquidity report, which is on page 17 of the packet. Total cash at the end of the period was $14.7 million with 10.7 months of operating cost available. The OCCC, again, does collect revenue seasonally with a higher portion of revenue collected in Q1. You may also note at the bottom of the report a proposed amount of unreserved cash based upon the pro forma action taken at the December meeting. Additionally, future projections for fiscal year end 22 indicate at the end of fiscal year 22, cash reserves to be at 3.5 months. And I'm happy to answer any questions on that as well.
So I think that is important for the audit committee to know that they're at 10.7 now, but the projection is to get it down. Would you say 3.5 by the end of the year?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that takes into account the action in December, assuming we get, you know, approval that moves into the reserves, and then again we collect our revenues early in the fiscal year. It'll be high again in second quarter when you receive the second quarter report,
yes.
But then it will deplete across the by the year end. So that's our projection. I know I've been talking to you because we did exceed four quarters in the last year with some of the COVID issues, but this will bring us back in line with the policy of less between 2 to 6 months.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much. And for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, Commissioner Retta.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Antonio Antoff will present the financial statements.
Antonio Antoff for Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our financials start on page 18. Our revenues are at 2.7% over budget. And I have noted some comments on page 19 on the major items. We will know more at the end of the month is when our licensing renewal period ends. So we will know more about where we end up with renewals and with licensing revenue. As far as the expenditures are concerned, our travel is way under budget due to limited travel with COVID restrictions, but it is picking up, so we expect to see our numbers in second quarter. A lot of conferences are starting to be held in person. Let's see. Our liquidity report is on page 20. We are currently at 7.2 months, and this is just a reminder, this is one of our high points of the year because of licensing renewals. All of our licensing revenue, well, all of the renewal revenue comes in the first and second quarters, so first and second quarter are high points, and then it starts, our historically fourth quarter is our lowest. So it's a better indicator. We have not taken out that amount for the building. So once we do that, we will be under 6 months as soon as it's approved. And I will be happy to answer any questions.
Makes sense. Any questions, members? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And for the Department of Banking, Commissioner Cooper.
Amy Chadley, would you come forward to give the report, please?
Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Texas Department of Banking. On page 21 is our operating statement for the quarter ending November 30, 2021. Our actual revenues are at 97.1% of budget, and our expenditures, actual expenditures are at 92% of budget. So on page 22 is our variance explanations. Revenue in general is in line with our budget, but like I mentioned, 97%. On the expenditure side, a couple of items. We have vacancies, 14 administrative vacancies and 27 examiner vacancies. That contributes to our salary lapse or salary savings. The next item is a miscellaneous operating costs, and we have a variance there because our SORM, State Office of Risk Management assessments are higher than anticipated. And also, we had hired a temporary contractor for HR, and we did not have that in the budget. Are any questions so far?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's just getting more difficult to hire people. I thought it would get better, but it hasn't.
Yeah. On page 23 is our liquidity report. Our unreserved cash is at 3.97% months, which is within the liquidity policy guidelines. I just wanted to add one just clarification on the post-payment audit. The reason why there's a delay also is because there was a team of three members, and their leading auditor retired about three-fourths into the audit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's contributed to the factor, yeah. The timeline being extended.
Do they do that on site, or is it virtually? Or
it was all virtual.
All virtual.
It was all virtual.
Figured as much. They may have some slowdown, too. Or maybe they do them all virtual. I don't know. But
yeah, it was all virtual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Sandra.
Sure.
That concludes the report on the financial statements. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2022 first quarter financial statements?
So moved.
Thank you. Commissioner McCauley, is there a second?
Nope.
Thank you. Commissioner Serna, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We now go on to item E, which is the activities of the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a really brief report today related to the activities of the Financial Education Endowment. As I think you know, the 2021 grant cycle concluded at the end of December because we had awarded the next cycle that started at the beginning of January. So the group that just finished up have filed their semi-annual reports. Those were due at the end of January, and so we're working on processing their final reimbursements. And so we'll be bringing that to a conclusion and as we kick off the next cycle. So that's also underway. Also, I've been working with the audit chair, and I just kind of wanted to give you a heads up. We talked a little bit about this at the last meeting, that we need to work about setting a new kind of vision and framework for this endowment fund going forward. What is our expectations in terms of grants? Because we have really reached some of the initial projections that we had laid out back when we, 10 years ago, not quite 10 years ago, but at the inception of this fund, almost 10 years ago. And so we've been looking at historical information and projections. We've been making some new projections. And again, I've been having a conversation with the audit chair. And so we are going to bring this to you in April. So I just wanted to kind of give you a heads up that this is coming. And, you know, again, if you have any input, we'll try to give you some of the information in advance. But we're looking at sort of how do we define the metrics and what are we really looking at in terms of new vision and objectives for this program.
Thank you. We're excited to hear that. Everything's moving in a positive direction on that, and we look forward to hearing more about it. Did you all have a new did I read that y'all had a new orientation for the new?
It's true. We had a webinar for the new grant recipients, give them an orientation about what the expectations are and
trying to
help them through. Yes, they're all excited, but they're well underway already with some of their programs. So
that's fantastic. Anything further?
Not on item E. We have item F.
Yes.
Are we ready to move to item F or anything?
Y'all have any questions or comments on that? Okay, let's move on to item F.
Okay.
This is for the Commissioner Pettijohn.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chairman, we wanted to bring for you forward to you a recommendation for a new appointment to the Grant Advisory Commission, Committee, rather, Grant Advisory Committee. We'd like to recommend the appointment of Deborah Reyes as a Credit Access Business Representative. We have one slot that typically is, represents the industry in this Grant Advisory Committee. And this would be for a term ending December 31st, 2025, beginning effective immediately, but for this current year. And then Deborah's bio is listed, brief bio is listed on the bottom of page 24. And so I encourage you to take a look at that, but we're excited about the opportunity to work with her on the Grant Advisory Committee and would request that the Finance Commission approve her appointment.
Yeah, and I did read through the bio. Looks like she'll be a great addition to the committee. Commissioners, do y'all have any comments or questions on that act? I'd like to request a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the appointment of a new Grant Advisory Committee member, Deborah Reyes.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. McCauley.
Second.
Mr. Serna. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Thanks for that, Commissioner. We're now going to move on to item G, and the Texas Department of Banking will need to discuss this item in executive session. It is now 8:53 a.m. on February 18th, 2022. At this time, the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission will go into closed session pursuant to Government Code Sections 551.076 and 551.089. And for the record, attending this executive session for the Texas Department of Banking are Commissioner Cooper, Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, Deputy General Counsel Marcus Adams, Director of Management Information Systems Sean Miller, Information Security Officer Jesse Garcia, and the Assistant Attorney General Sarah Wolf. Commissioner, did I get everybody there?
Perfect.
Is that correct? We are anticipating the executive session to last approximately 20 minutes.
And we're going to be meeting in separate rooms.
Oh, so we can hang out here.
All right, members, it is 9:09 a.m. on February 18th, 2022, and the commission is now back in open session. There was no action taken in the closed session. And that's all the items we have on the agenda. Any other comments or questions from the members? Nothing at all? There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission is now adjourned, and the time is 9:10 a.m.
Thank you. Well done, sir.
Well done.